You have your Bible, I guess you do, hope you do, you need to, you ought to, shame on you if you don't. We'll turn to the last book of the Bible, first chapter of the last book, Revelation chapter 1. We'll look at something a little bit different this morning. I pray that the Lord might give you what you need, He might strengthen your heart. Both songs that was sung this morning, amen. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And then love paid to send that for me. Both of those are compliment to the message this morning. I appreciate those two songs. And we go right in line with what God put on our heart to preach. I pray that God will give us something from the throne of God. You pray now for our people that have wrote us this week on from the jail ministry. We get letters every week. I don't use that to tell it in the regular worship hour. But you pray for those prisoners. You pray for those who have ordered things and what God has done to open a door. You pray for the ministry. You pray God keep opening doors and putting literature in the hands of people. And that God has blessed. We thank God for that. He's going to continue to do it. But let's pray for it and pray that the hand of God will be on it. We'll stay with God. You pray for these ladies and men that come down here every Tuesday and work, and they... So on a cold day, they cold, and in the summertime, they sweat. You know, we can't keep the temperature just exactly right, but they work faithfully, and I say I appreciate what they do. Amen. For the glory of God. Am I on, or did I turn it on? Oh, no, I don't remember. Can't even remember. Had a senior moment. Can't remember where I turned it on or not. All right. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Revelation, chapter number 1. We want to stand. We're going to read verse number 4, please. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation. Now this is the revelation in your title of your Bible said the revelation of St. John the Divine. But if you look down in verse number 1, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now which one you want to believe? I'll take the Word of God over all. Amen. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to preach on this morning. Said John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, and which is to come. That's the Lord Jesus. And from the seven spirits which are before His throne. And from Jesus Christ. Here's our text verse. Who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That word amen is a Bible word, by the way. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And you be seated and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the reading of the precious Word of God. I pray now, Lord, it might find a lodging place in our heart. We leave this building this morning. We can say it's been good to be into the Lord's house. Our hearts have been strengthened. Our souls been encouraged. Our hearts have been mellowed by the Word of God. And I pray now, Lord, that You might direct our minds and our attention. Captivate our thinking for the next little while. Lord, I pray that Your perfect will might be done. Your mighty hand might be upon us. May the will of God be performed. And we'll say thank You for it all. If there's one under the sound of our voice that does not know You, that's lost in their sin, I pray God today that You'd open their mind and their heart and help them today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And go out shouting the shout of a newborn babe. And we'll give You the glory for it. We commit it all into Your hand. Lord, it's going to take the Spirit of God to do the preaching. Lord, do it. Take us out of it. Lord, You get in the middle of it, and we'll be welcome. We'll welcome You, and we'll be pleased. And I know, Lord, You'll be pleased as well. Have Your way now in every heart and life and mind. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Give God the glory. Now, we've been preaching for the last little while, the last few Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, on what John has saw and some things he's been talking about in ways of prophecy. But this morning, I don't want to talk about necessarily what John saw, but I want to talk about who he saw. Amen. What a difference that is. And so we want to look at this morning. Verses 5 and verses number 6 will give us a little clear indication. I'll try to look at these scriptures, not all of them, but portions of these two verses this morning, and trust that they be a blessing. Now, I thank God for the Word of God. I do. I'm glad that I have the Word of God. I got to thinking about it. I must live, and you must live this morning. We must live on the Word of God. The Bible said, talks about heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. It's eternal. Amen. Ain't you glad we got an eternal book? Yes, sir. And then on top of that this morning, well, when Jesus was tempted and the Satan came to him, he said and talked about, if thou be the Son of God, or if thou be the Son of Man, put a question mark on it. And remember one thing Jesus said to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out from the mouth of God. So I need to live this morning on the Word of God. Living on the Word of God this morning, I can build on Him. He is the foundation. If we build on and live on the Word of God, we'll have the right foundation. You can follow right to Mohammed. You can follow right to some of these other leaders. You can follow right to some of the other religions. But I want to tell you right now, nothing will ever satisfy or suffice you in your life but the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Not only do I need to live on the Word of God, but I need to live in the Word of God. And if I live in the Word of God, I'll be strengthened and I'll grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior. Not only need to live in and on the Word of God, but I need to live by the Word of God, what it says. And if I do that, that'll give me strength. Amen. You'll not have any strength in anything else. You can follow the philosophies of men and fail, but you'll not follow the Word of God and fail. Praise God, the Word of God is strong, and I give God the praise and the glory and the honor. Not only that, but we need to live for the Word of God. And by that, I mean we ought to have a desire for the Word of God. You ought to long for it. Amen. We ought to desire it as necessary food. And it is spiritually. Amen. If we had an appetite for the Word of God like we got a physical appetite, most of us would be fat Christians. Amen. Instead of skin and bones. Most of us are fat physically, but we're skin and bones spiritually. Amen. God help us. We need to get in the Word of God. Now I want to talk about this a minute. This is John's adoration for the Savior. John's adoration. He is admiring the Savior. You got to remember, he's going to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day a little further in this chapter. You're going to be there. You're going to see that he's there. We won't talk about it this morning. But he was there for a testimony and for the Word of God. These are outcasts. They throwed him away. They put him out of their presence. They didn't like him. Now, look at what he says in verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Here's the little phrase I want to talk about this morning. Unto him that loved us. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. I want you to know that's his adoration for the Savior. He exalts in some other ways. I think about Paul. Paul was like that too. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Hold your place there in the first chapter of Revelation. And Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20. In chapter 3 and verse number 20, Paul. Brother, you talk about, I could just use a lot of places from the Apostle Paul, how he adored the Savior and exalted the Savior and magnified the Savior. But in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, now unto him that is able, praise God, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's adoring him. He's magnifying. Look at the adoration. He said, he is able. Amen. I want you to know this morning, he's more than able. Amen. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He can do more than we ask or think this morning. That's his adoration. That's what Paul's saying about it. Look over to the book of Jude. Go to Revelation, back up one book. We come to the book of Jude. When we get to the book of Jude, look at verse number 24. Oh, Jude, brother, he's got an adoration for him too. He's admiring him. He said, now unto him that is able to to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Some of us, He's got His hands full. Amen. But look here, Jude said this. Jude said He's able. What's He able to do? Keep us from falling? He can keep us from falling. Thank God for that. I'm glad I can rejoice in the King this morning, the Savior. He's able to keep me from falling. Not only falling, but the Bible said He's also able to present me faultless. I'm not faultless now, but one day I'll be faultless and sinless. There'll be no spot nor blemish in me one day after a while. I've got them all over me now, all in me. Brother, I'm not perfect by no means, but one day He's able to present me perfect and faultless before the throne of God. And Jude's lifting him up. Now John is on the Isle of Patmos. He's given us something here. Brother, I want you to know, I believe that the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, and brother, looking at this thing today, I believe it's more than just what paper and pen can tell. Ain't you? I believe that. Brother, I believe we look at this, we'll see more than that. Brother, I believe we need to see more than just what it says on the page in this book. I believe we not only need to read it and understand it, but we need to know that we've got a Savior this morning that we can talk to, and He can talk back to us. And brother, we can feel His presence, and we can admire Him, and we can see Him with the eye of faith. And brother, I'll tell you what, I've been walking with Jesus enough in my life. Amen. Not like I should, not like you should, but I want to tell you something. I've walked with Jesus enough to know that He's real. He's not the figment of my imagination. He's not just something that John wrote about and put it on paper. Thank God I've experienced this same Jesus that John was talking about in this first chapter. Amen. I know He's real. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I ain't never experienced Him all like that. Well, you need to. Amen. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the focal point of the gospel and of the Word of God. And so we look at this morning. Well, somebody said, you know what? I've heard that story. That's a story out of the storybook. You can call it that if you want to. It can be a story out of the minds of men if you want to call it that. But I want to tell you something. It's more than a story out of the storybook. Brother, it's a literal fact that Jesus Christ died and went to the grave and on the third day arose. I give Him glory. I give Him praise. He's alive forevermore. And brother, He holds the keys of death, hell, and of the grave. Thank God, I want to tell you something. Look with me in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18. Can you look at that? He said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And notice this next phrase that knocks the devil's teeth out. It says this, and have the keys of hell and of death. Brother, I want you to know Jesus has got the keys to where the devil's going, and the devil don't even have keys to his own house. Praise God. I'm glad, thank God, He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. It's not just a belief that somebody taught me in the Sunday school, and I picked it up and took it. Brother, I experienced the grace of God, and I know in my heart that He lives. He lives. Somebody said, how do you know Jesus lives? Because the Bible said so. That's good enough for me right there. Somebody said, you believe He's alive because the Sunday school teacher told you? Yes, I like that too. But I'll tell you the reason I know He lives is because I feel His presence down in my soul. The Spirit of God moves. Brother, I'm motivated by His power and His presence. And I know I'm alive with Him because He's in me. Amen. And I'm in Him. Praise God, I belong to Him and He belongs to me. Praise God. That gets exciting. You get to thinking about it this morning. Amen. Now, look what John said. He didn't say this. He said unto him that loved us, that's what he said, and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He didn't say, that He might have washed us or could have washed us or did love us or could have loved us. He said He loved us. He didn't say a hope. Amen. He's washed us. But He's saying He has done it. Brother, I want you to know us. We need to do that. Now look here. John didn't even write it this way. He didn't say unto him that loved me. He didn't say, and unto him that washed me. He didn't say, and unto him that washed me from my sins. No, Amen. That would have been good. I can say that at once, man. It's good for me to say it. Thank God he has washed me. Thank God he has loved me. But John says, and he gets it a little broader thing, he has loved us. Our. Thank God. That means it includes my family. That it means it includes my friends. That means it includes my foes. Brother, he's loved us. Brother, I want you to know, amen. Brother, he is the Savior. And I want you to know tonight, this morning, that he is alive forevermore. Now, look at verse number 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now, I want you to look at this. He's got two notes on the song of praise. I want to point them out to you. Here they are. In verse number 6, down at the last sentence, it says, to him be what? Glory. That's note number 1 on the song of praise. And he said, and dominion. He said, to him be glory, and to him be dominion. And John is given two notes. Amen. That's not enough. Amen. Let's go look at some other things in the Word of God. Amen. Two is a number of witness. Amen. We're not to take any accusation on anybody or against anybody, but at the mouth of two are three witnesses. Amen. We're not to take somebody's word for something. We ought to have them at the mouth of two or three witnesses. So two is witness. And John's got two words here. Glory. And he's got it of dominion. And that note as he begins to sing. Now slide down to chapter number 4 of the book of Revelation. And verse number 9. In chapter 4 and verse number 9. Look at what he says. He said in verse number 9, this is them around the throne of God. The church has been called out. But in verse number 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, those beasts, the four created beings that cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, day and night continually around the throne of God. They're created beings, and that's what they're doing. And these beasts are crying out. Here they give, they sing three notes of the notes of praise. He said here, glory, honor, and thanks. Brother, they increased it just a little bit. And look at that, if you will. Then I want you to go down to verse 11, chapter 4 and verse 11. And we'll find that the 24 elders in verse 10 fall down, the 24 elders of the church, the Old Testament saints, amen, together. And they're going to begin to praise God. In verse 11 it said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive. Here they are. They're singing their notes. Glory and honor and power. There they are. Three again. Amen. What's the number 3? 3 is completeness. Amen. Brother, in heaven we get complete with our glory and our praise. So they're giving him the glory and the praise. Now I want you to go to chapter 5 and verse number 12. When you get over there, brother, they begin to bow before the throne. The Bible said in chapter 5 verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive. He's worthy to receive. Notice what he's worthy to receive. He's worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Anybody count them? 7 of them. Praise God, they're singing 7. Bro, that's a perfect song. 7 is perfection. Brother, we get to heaven, we'll sing like we've never sung before, and they're giving him the glory. Amen. You might as well this morning wake up, smell the coffee, and start praising him now. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to get ecstatic when you get on the other side. You may look dead as a last year's wasp nest and feel as cold as a cucumber this morning, but I want to tell you, when you get to glory, hallelujah, you're going to praise him. I can't hardly wait to watch some of you. Amen. It'll just be worth going to heaven just to get to watch some of you, amen. I mean, let me tell you this. I remember as a young boy, going down to the church house as a young man, I'd sit over there, and them old boys would get in there, them old fellas, we had a lot of older men in the church, and them deacons, you know, and they'd say, while the preacher's preaching, they'd say, amen, amen. And I'd look at them every time they'd do it, I'd just watch them as a young fella. I was just a teenager. I'd just watch them. Some of you may be doing that today. And you know what? I just watched them and said, amen, amen. I said, what makes them do all that? I was a teenager. You remember that? What makes them do that? I mean, they say amen. And then once in a while, a preacher said, why don't you say amen? And they'd say amen a little louder. Like you had to stir them up. And I'd say, what is this? What is this? Amen. But the more I got into it, the further I got down into it, I found out there's something to it. Amen. I need more, and you need more than to be motivated and punched and primed and pumped to be able to say amen. But I remember one time I thought, well, I'm going to try that myself. We was off down in the church, the preacher was preaching. He said something, and I said, amen. Amen. And I thought, oh, I did it. I did it. Amen. I did it. Everybody else is doing that. And so he'd say something, and I'd say, amen. Amen. And then nobody heard me hardly. I mean, it was silent. I was amening all over on the inside, but it wasn't coming out. Amen. I mean, I'm saying it louder now than I said it when then. You know what I'm saying? There it was. But then all of a sudden one day, God got a hold of me. God got to touching, and the preacher got to preaching, and the word got to stirring, and the God of heaven got to moving in my heart through the Spirit. And one day it said something. I said, glory to God, amen. I mean, shocked myself. Here I am. I thought I was going to pass out. And I said, there's something got a hold of me. Amen. Brother, ever since then, it's been easier and easier. Did you know some of you deadheads this morning can't say amen? Why, you ought to go practice a little bit. If you just started every once in a while, it wouldn't hurt you. Hey, I want you to know this morning, I hope God gets a hold of you so strong that you can't help yourself. And all you can do is say glory to God. Hallelujah. Practice up a little bit. You're going to a place that's going to be like that. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to put on pretend. If you're amening this morning because you're just pretending, putting on, shame on you. But brother, I'll tell you what, the preacher gets to talking about the good things of God. It gets to stir in my soul. It goes a little deeper in my head. It gets down in my heart. Amen. Praise God. Some of y'all can go to the honky-tonk and pat your foot. Well, that ain't mean nothing. Amen. I can pat my foot. You can pat your foot at anything. But I'll tell you what, brother, if it starts at your feet, it ain't too real. But you let her start at your heart, brother, and it's coming from above. I want you to know that's how it is. I want God to get a hold of me and stir my heart. Oh, John says unto him. Well, I'll give you another one. Chapter 7 and verse number 12. Chapter 7, verse number 12. Have you ever noticed these things? I'd never picked them out. I just got to looking at the scriptures. And you know, you go back and forth in the Word of God. We've been over in this 7th chapter. We've been in the 6th chapter. We've been in the 5th chapter. We've been in the 4th chapter. Yeah, we've been in the... But I didn't see him when we was there. And the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 7, and look at verse number 12. Here are the tribulation saints saying amen, blessing. Now notice it. And glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. 7. Seven's perfection. Amen. Your glory will be perfected when you get to heaven one of these days and we get it all together. Brother, giving Him the glory. We just barely give God recognition. We ought to give Him praise and glory this morning. We certainly ought to do that. Amen. Now, praise is kind of like an avalanche. You get started with it and you can't stop it. That's right. Amen. Now, I want you to look at this. In verse number 5, he said, unto him that loved us. We're talking about the last sentence of that verse. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, I want you to know he loved us first. Did you see that? He didn't say in the Word of God, unto him that washed us and loved us. He said, unto him that loved us and washed us. He loved us before he washed us. He didn't wash us up and then love us. He didn't clean us up and then love us. He loved us when we were ugly and dirty and undefiled, or defiled, not undefiled, but defiled. He loved us when we were sinners. He loved us when we were dead in trespasses. He loved us when we was drunkards and harlots. He loved us when we was revilers. He loved us when we was liars. He loved us when we was wretches. And then he washed us. Amen. He loved us first. Amen. I like that. I praise God for it. He did. Amen. Then he shows us how he washed us. How did he wash us? He tells us in verse number 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He washed us with his blood. Somebody said, that's a strange thing to wash us with. Somebody gets up and says, hey, I'm glad I'm blood bought, blood washed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And then a little critic gets out there and said, they're that blood washed religion. They believe in the blood, and boy, that's a dirty religion, and they'll talk about that. Brother, let me tell you something. You say what you want to, but brother, if you hadn't come through the blood, you're still in your sin, you're still on your way to hell, and you're still without God. You've got to be washed in His blood. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, I bypassed the blood and went to the baptistry pool. I bypassed the blood and got baptized down at the creek. Amen. I want to tell you something this morning. You didn't get washed. You might have got dipped. Amen. You might have got wet. You might went down a dry center and come up a wet center, but you have not been changed. You have not been washed. You have to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something about this blood. The blood that Christ washes us with this morning, amen, is perfect blood. Now why is the blood of Christ any different than the blood of man? Why is it different? I'll tell you why. Man has been tainted with sin all down through the ages. Brother, when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and she conceived of the Holy Ghost, I want you to know when she conceived that the blood of the Father was endowed upon him. And brother, he was born with the blood of God the Father flowing in his veins, who's perfect and pure. Brother, I want you to know that's perfect blood. Not only is it perfect blood, but it's powerful blood. The blood of Christ is the only thing that can reach down and save a sinner, can wash away the black sin of your heart and make you white as snow. Thank God for that. I don't understand that. You said, preacher, can you explain it? No, I can't explain it because I can't understand it. But I read it from the Word of God. I believe what God said. And I'm like Abraham. I just want to believe what God said. And His blood has washed me. His blood. Amen. Religion didn't do it. Amen. Baptistry pool of water didn't do it. But I'm telling you, the blood of Christ did. His perfect blood, His powerful blood. And the Bible said in Peter, he said it's precious blood. Praise God for the precious blood. Why is it so precious? Because God accepts the blood of His Son. Then you can go on and look at another. If you want, it's presented blood. You remember Jesus when He rose from the dead? He was out there and Mary came and she looked at Him and thought He was the gardener. And she was going to reach out to, and He said, touch me not, for I've not yet ascended to the Father's throne. Listen, let me tell you what happened is that old high priest in days gone by had to sprinkle the blood. It had to be sprinkled on the mercy seat, and God accepted that blood. But see, Christ, He ascended into heaven, sprinkled the mercy seat of glory with His blood for our sin, and God accepts that, and that blood's been presented. And when God looks down, He says, hey, it's the blood that's got to be for the remission of your sin. And so He looks down. Brother, God said, that's the only remedy. There's not but one remedy for man's sin, and that's Jesus. You said, well, preacher, you believe all that? Absolutely. Amen. Well, you think I am, idiot? I'm here preaching the truth. Amen. I'm not preaching the Sears and Roebuck catalog. I'm preaching the Bible. Amen. Brother, God sent His Son, and His Son loved us, and God so loved us. And when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, went to the grave, arose, and now to this morning seated at the right hand of the Father, giving us the Spirit of God to teach us and show us and bring us to Christ. And it's the blood of Christ that washes away my sin and washes away your sin. Amen. Look at verse 6. The Bible said, and hath made us kings and priests. Hey, that may not stir you, but I'm glad I'm a king and a priest. Well, preacher, you ain't a nothing. Amen. That's about right in the eyes of man. And sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, boy, you ain't nothing. Amen. Just like everybody says sometimes. I get my moments. I have my little pity parties. You ain't never had them. Amen. Somebody says bad things about me sometimes and I get to believe and I say, they're right. You know, I whine. God said, shut your mouth. That's what He done to Elijah.
Had to tell him to shut up, so to speak. Why, Elijah, you're not the only one. I got some more over yonder that you don't even know nothing about. There's still some others around. When you get to thinking you're all alone and standing all by yourself, remember this, brother, there's always somebody else out there that's standing for God. Just down to where you're the only one around, I'll guarantee you, brother, it'll be time to part company and get out of here. Thank God there's some. I'm glad there's some over in Alabama that loves God. I'm glad there's some up in South Carolina that loves God. I'm glad there's some down in Florida that loves God. I'm glad that some up in North Carolina loves God. Now, some of y'all may have traveled there and you better wonder if God's even been there. But I want to tell you something. I want you to know there's some people of God all around us. You hear me? I'm telling you the truth. I'm standing here telling you the truth. Well, we're more than kings and priests, really. Let's just stop and examine this for a minute. We'll take the priest first. What's the duty of a priest? What is the duty of a priest? You said, if we're a priest, then what's our duty? What was the priest's duty in the Old Testament? His job in the Old Testament was to be a go-between. His job in the Old Testament was to be an intercessor. His job in the Old Testament was to point others to God. The priest, he caught the blood and sprinkled it. First of all, he gave the sacrifice or killed the sacrifice, and first for his sin, and then for the sins of the people. And he would go in the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle the blood and get into the where the mercy seat was and sprinkle the blood. He'd come back out. And God had accepted that. He was the go-between. Now, we don't sprinkle blood on the furniture. We don't sprinkle blood at the mercy seat. That's already been done. That's done once and for all, never to be done again. Every goat, every lamb that they offered, every bullock that they offered back under the Old Testament time, pointing to the one who would come, who would be Jesus Christ. And when Jesus came and died on the cross of Calvary, all that was done away with. He is our supreme sacrifice. He offered Himself so He could wash us with His own blood. Are you with me? Now, what do? Brother, we can't sprinkle the blood. But what we do is we go out and tell them to come to Jesus. We preach them the gospel. We give them a gospel tract. We try to tell them that there's a hell to shun, a heaven to gain through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we try to warn them and get them and bring them in. We are priests. Our job is to be a go-between to bring others to Christ. Now as a king, let's look at a king. And I'm just breaking this down a little bit. I wish we could have time. Amen. Every time I get on the subject, I'd like to stay there. But amen, we have to keep a traveling. When we come to the king, what's the job of the king? Or what's the duty of the king? A king is to rule. Why, a king has privileges that nobody else has. The king's got a palace. The king's got a special course of meals. The king's got subjects under him. And so a king has got some liberties. And as a child of God, I've got some liberties. I can come boldly to the throne of grace and call out to God and cry out to God. They couldn't do that in like days gone by, but thank God I can bypass the priest and I can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and I can say our Father, and He's right there on the spot. I've got liberties. Praise God, I've been taken out of bondage. I've been set free. Amen. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Yes, sir, we got some liberties in Christ as kings. Now let's go a little bit further. Let's look at something else as we look at this. In verse number 5, He says, unto him that loved us. Now we've talked about loved us. Amen. These boys sung this morning and talked about the love of Christ. Amen. I want you to know He loved us. Nobody's ever loved us like Christ loved us. Amen. Nobody loves us this morning like Christ loves us. Amen. One thing, His love will never diminish. It'll never get any stronger. It'll never get any weaker. He loves you with an almighty love this morning. He always has. He always will. But He goes on, He said, and washed us. I like that word, washed. What's that mean? He means He loosed us from our sins. Not only did He wash us, He loosed us from those sins. It means He not only washed us, He cleansed us. He removed them sins from me. They're not there anymore. They're put behind His back as far as the east is from the west. Brother, in the depths of the sea, He's put my sins, and thank God He'll never bring them out on me again. He's cleansed me. Not only that, it means this, unto Him that loved us and not only washed but forgiven. He has forgiven me of my sin. Now some of you don't know what forgiven is. amen, because you haven't practiced it much. You're still holding things against somebody that apologized to you 20 years ago. Bro, they came to you humbling, cried, and asked you to forgive them, and you've still got the hatchet buried with a handle sticking out and three maps to show you how to get there. If anything ever turns around, you're going to dig it out and get it and chop their head off. Say amen. But Christ, forgive me. My sins are gone. He said it's over. It's not on the record book no more. Now, I want to tell you something. I can get myself in trouble. I've never been there, thank God. I've been in a jailhouse a lot of times, but I've been on the good side of the bars. Amen. I have never, I ain't going to say it won't never happen. I certainly hope it don't. If I ever get in a jailhouse, I hope it's not because I didn't pay my bills or I hurt somebody or something. I hope if I have to get in a jailhouse, I hope it's because of the preaching the Word of God and for a testimony of grace. Amen. And that might come to that in our society. But I want to tell you this. I can look at this. I can do something, get a record. You know, I can spend some time and serve some time. Did you know what? When I come out of that and I get served my time and come out, I'd always have a record. You could always, I might move off to a different town, a different state, a different country, and live my life, but somewhere down the road, somebody is going to find the record and they're going to pull it back out on me. Now, you can pull out any records you want to on me this morning about my sin, but I want to tell you, as far as I know, brother, as far as I can tell, brother, I've got the assurance of my heart, and if I didn't think it wasn't, I'd do something about it this morning. Brother, you can look the record books over in glory. You can get all the books you want to from God, and brother, you won't find that attached to me anywhere. God has forgiven me of it. It's gone. Now today, they have what they call expunged. You can commit certain things, and sometimes they'll expunge it. Some of you may have records like that nobody knows anything about because they expunged it. Well, thank God, I'm glad He's expunged mine too. That might not have been the way you say that word, expunged it. I don't know how you say it, but I'm not up here trying to teach English. Amen. Preach it. Just preach it. I'm telling you this morning, brother, we look in the Word of God. We see these things. Brother, He's talked about that He loved us and washed us from our sins. Now, I want to tell you how He done it. How did He love us? First of all, He loved us freely. He did. He loved us freely. He didn't love us because we was righteous. He didn't pick me out and say, He's a good boy. He didn't pick you out and say, You was a good woman. He didn't pick me out because I was a righteous person. He didn't pick me out because there was something about me that was holy. He didn't pick me out because I looked like I was going to be, promising to Him. He picked me out this morning and picked you out. And I'm talking about He died for all of us. You hear me? I ain't even use that word picked. You'll think I'm a Calvinist. No, I'm not. Amen. I believe Christ died for all men. I believe every man He died for. But I want to tell you this one. When He went to save me, He didn't just save me because I was something special. Brother, He saved me because I was lost and I called on Him. Thank God He loved me where I was. So His love was freely given. Amen. Amen. Think about this for just a minute to show you that. Paul was a persecutor of the church and a persecutor of the people of God. And what did God do? He struck him down on the road to Damascus and saved his soul. Brother, I want to tell you something. I was a reviler. I was against God. But He saved me. He saved me. Thank God He saved me. Are you with me? Not only is it love freely given, but He loved me humbly. He came and died for me in humility. He humbled Himself. Just to take on the robe of flesh is humility. God coming to earth in the robe of human flesh. That's humility. I remember, and He showed us this in the Word of God. I believe it's John 13. I'm not sure about the chapter. But we know in the Word of God that Jesus girded Himself with a towel. And took a basin and a pan. And He went through and washed the disciples' feet. showing himself as humility, and he's pointing at the things that what he done when he come and died on the cross of Calvary. He had to humble himself. That's God, Almighty God. That's the sovereignty, Almighty God, Jehovah, dying on the cross of Calvary for such an old worm like you and me. None of you in here was worthy for him to die for you. None of you in here deserved it. Thank God he loved us. He loved us. He loved us. He loved us. But I want to say he loves us too. He not only loved us, but he loves us. Present. He loved me past. He loves me present. And I'll tell you this, he'll love me tomorrow. So he loves me future. Praise God, there's all the tenses of his love. He loves me. Well, time has caught me. I'd like to preach on for a while. Amen. We ought to glorify his name. Let me just give you these points. I believe you need to get these. Jot these down. The only way you can glorify him this morning, first of all, you can't glorify him without confessing him. You've got to confess Jesus Christ. I want to glorify him. Secondly, you can't glorify him this morning without giving him dominion of your life. And letting him have full control and full charge of all your life. Thirdly, you cannot glorify him this morning without bringing others to Jesus Christ. You've got to bring others that glorifies him. You can't glorify him this morning without getting at the place where you do nothing to dishonor him. You can't dishonor Christ and glorify him. You can't do it. You can't glorify him this morning when you're cold and indifferent. When you're cold and indifferent about his house. When you're cold and indifferent about his man, his preacher. When you're cold and indifferent about his work. And when you're cold and indifferent about his Bible. You can't glorify God. We could just preach on and preach on there. John, he sees Christ in this first chapter. Before he sees what's going to happen to the rest of the world in Revelation, he sees the Christ of Calvary. And he holds him to a high pedestal. You read a little further down, you find him looking at Christ as the glorified Christ. He's not looking at him as the glorified Christ here. He's looking at him here as the Savior. But then later, he sees him as the glorified Christ. Amen. You've got to get a picture of that too as well. But right now, he sees him as the Savior. Thank God that's how I want to see him this morning. Amen. I can't describe the glorified Christ. I can tell you what John saw. I can tell you what I see from the Word of God here. Amen. But now John, he got in the Spirit. And when he's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day all by himself, brother, and God put him in another world, he saw the glorified Christ. But now one of these days I'll see the glorified Christ face to face. And I can describe him a little bit from what I find out of the Word of God. But right now, I'm not there. I will be headed there. Thank God he loved. What's the next word? He loved us. He loved us. Say it. He loved
us.
He loved us. Amen. You got it. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his mercy. Amen. I like that old Just As I Am. Preacher, you're going to wear that song out. Oh, it's been ages. Nobody's wore it out yet. Just as I am. That's how God wants you this morning. Just as you are. You may be lost and undone, but I've told you about a Savior this morning that loves you. I told you about a Savior that can save you. I've told you about a Savior that died for you. I've told you about a Savior that cares for you. He loves you. Would you stand, please? Just as I am, page 81 in that blue book. How about it? He loves you. He died for you. He'll wash you. He'll cleanse you. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll redeem you. He's your redeemer. Would you let him redeem you this morning?